books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 3. Produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 5. Septeris Veri. A Star of the Septenary. When I reach with my inner sight, far, far away, to yonder realms beyond the veil of days, I see mist shrouding mountains at twilight. The mist caresses the blossoms, flows down the crystalline streams and wraps over the feathers of sleeping birds. The golden dust of trembling starlight is pouring down softly, teasing the hidden contours out of the dark and awakening the strings of the night. It is where the souls of dreams dwell. Damare, the Chronicles of a Non-Existent World. Hegel woke up to the scents of early summer. He shifted on his bed and rubbed his eyes, struggling to dispel the nightmare from last night. The bright ceiling soared above, vaulted as though in a shrine. Vaulted? His eyes snapped open.
Where am I?
He swallowed his breath, his heart pounding. The warriors scanned the room with his extended senses, but all seemed clear. Slowly, quietly, he sat up and frantically looked around. The shimmering walls were covered with murals. There were landscapes and seas and foreign skies and creatures he'd never seen, so vivid they appeared alive. Even through his shock, Hegel couldn't but marvel at the skill of the mysterious master.
Light, where am I?
He studied the dainty carvings on his bed, trying to gather thoughts.
How did I get here?
Gradually, memories started seeping back.
Wait.
Hegel's throat clenched with shock.
It wasn't a nightmare. They killed me.
Now he remembered it all. The fight, the scorching blast, the writhing agony of death. Startled, he took a deep breath, uneasy about what he was about to see. His arms and body would be covered in horrifying burns, or at the very least in enormous scars and blisters. Hegel was sure of it.
I don't feel any pain. Strange.
He cautiously undid his dressing gown. Against all reason, the soft fabric folds revealed the perfectly unscathed skin. Not even a scratch.
This is insane.
He touched his chest, then pinched himself to check if he might still be dreaming. His mind refused to believe what he saw.
Could this be... Is this where one goes after death?
He swallowed, nervously.
It looks so real, though.
He slipped out of bed and walked towards the window, the azure carpet soft under his feet. The window was ajar. Square panes of glass scattered sunshine into tiny rainbows. Outside, the star was greeted by the vista of bright woods, green meadows, a filigree of streams, and distant snowy mountains. Far to the left, an ocean rolled its glittering waves. But the sky. Hegel opened the window wider and turned his face to the wind, relishing the feel of it as it ran through his hair. Untold mellowness washed over him. The aquamarine sky of his childhood stirred his soul and filled it with deep longing. In the next moment, though, reality crashed on him at last. He was alone, in a strange place, with no recollection of how he got here. It was entirely possible that he might be captive and was being watched. Hegel quickly stepped away from the window. He wondered how much of his academy training would be of use in an afterlife, if this was it. The warrior scanned his surroundings again with his extended senses, and then once more, incredulous. There must have been someone around. Guards, if it was a castle, or priests, if it was a shrine. But tapping into the field of light brought only silence. The citadel appeared empty. Well, maybe, except... Hegel's eyes widened with hope. He prayed he hadn't imagined it. Familiar frequencies, as though his battle brothers were here with him.
Please, may it be true. May it be true.
He thought feverishly.
That would change everything.
Only now did he notice a door, and next to it, a low marble bench covered in green velvet. A neat pile of clothes waited for him here, with a pair of familiar leather boots. He walked closer. That couldn't be. It was all here. The white undershirt, the trousers, the belt, and the blue-grey jacket, embroidered with the quarter symbol on the left. His academy uniform.
Light and all gods, how?
Hegel caught his breath and touched the fabric with his fingertips. It was real. He crinkled his eyes, feeling tears welling up within. He never thought he would see anything from Silterion ever again.
Where am I?
He whispered, now utterly lost. Yet, unexplainably, wearing his old uniform helped him regain his composure somehow. He lingered in front of the arched door. The door was solid, framed in silver, and appeared locked. Hegel warily put his hand on the cold metal of the handle and listened. All seemed as empty as before. After a short hesitation, he pressed the handle, the gentlest touch. To his surprise, the door readily gave in. A large hallway opened before him, bright with sunshine that flooded in through the glass roof and the resplendence of the latticed windows. Hefty green crystals hang on the walls, mounted in brass, their glow faint in the daylight glory. A grand staircase of white stone curved softly into the shadows below. On one of its wide steps, gleaming with reflected light, Hegel spotted a large blue feather. Five other doors were flanked with tall statues in armour and long robes. The grace frozen in stone called to limn some ancient deities, or maybe the legendary guardians. Hegel was not sure. He paused, mesmerised by the otherworldly beauty of the giant figures, curiously studying their faces and their unseen weapons, then smirked wistfully. It would be handy to have someone like that by his side right now. Tay must have been somewhere near, he could swear. Hegel hoped only that it was his extended perception, not his wishful thinking. He looked around once more. Silence. The warrior stepped towards the grand staircase, where a slight waft of air behind made him freeze. He jerked around, taking a fighting stance. One of the arched doors opened a crack. As soon as that, Hegel's face broke into the broadest smile. He put his hands down.
Tay!
The door swung open, revealing Tay in his uniform trousers and dishevelled from sleep. Hegel took a deep breath.
Light preserve us! Tay, you're alive!
Yep,
Tay answered with a yawn.
I think so.
He grinned and patted himself as though to make sure.
Unless this is an afterlife of sorts.
He gestured Hegel in, then quickly closed the door behind them.
It's safer to talk here.
Tay, but how? I can't believe...
Hegel spluttered.
Just can't understand it. I swear I saw you dead. I saw how Moriel...
Spit out that name.
Tay scowled.
May it be cursed by thousands of winds.
I'm lost.
Hegel shook his head, feeling confused and more emotional than he cared to admit.
As lucky as Doregi's children, they would say. I can't believe it.
He opened his arms and the friends hugged briefly.
So happy you're alive.
Good to see your stupid face too.
Tay patted him on the shoulder.
Being alive feels great.
He smiled, but then turned serious.
No wounds. You've noticed that. It's something I just can't get my head around. The last thing I remember was the blast that went straight through. I should be a bloody mess right now, but by any standard.
Indeed,
Hegel agreed.
Most bizarre. If I didn't believe in light, I would now. What miracle is this? I only wish that I knew what was going on.
And where the heck we are.
Quite.
I wonder if the other two are here.
Tay ran fingers through his hair. He was fully dressed now. The quarter symbol on his shoulder bore a ruby outline.
I sense Nasteri, maybe, at least.
I'm fairly certain I can catch his frequency too.
Tay nodded.
We must find him before whoever owns this palace finds us.
He ordered in an undertone. The first door on the right led to a round chamber filled with mirrors. There were no lamps or windows, and yet a strange glow filled the space, coming as if from nowhere. Tay and Hegel walked cautiously in. As soon as that, their countless copies, hundreds of faces and eyes, jumped at them from every corner. A startling phantasmagoria of figures copied their every move, reflecting in the ceiling, walls and floor, staring, staring. The stars hastily withdrew and closed the door.
The hell was that?
Tay shook his head.
Perhaps a torture chamber of some kind,
Hegel supposed quietly.
I shall be relieved when we're out of here.
If we're prisoners, which we likely are, the guards are bloody useless.
Tay snorted.
I mean, just look at this. They've even forgotten to tie us up. Amateurs.
I haven't seen anyone so far,
Hegel said.
I expected my room to be locked and guarded, or at least someone watching over the main hall. They must all be downstairs or outside. My only guess is that they may be using those shinobi shields.
Tay frowned.
That would be bad news. If we can't tell how many bastards are out there, we're in trouble.
He drummed his fingers on the wall.
Wait,
Hegel said.
Nasteri could break through those masking shields, remember?
Oh yeah, he did. I thought he got the crazy fit in that park up until later. Right, we need to find him, quick.
Tay decisively opened another door. Behind it, a stone staircase spiralled up into a turret strewn with narrow windows. The pieces of cut crystal for the glass flared where the sun touched them.
We'll check this one last,
Tay decided. Then there was Tay's bedroom, and Hegel's next. There would be no point looking there. The stars walked straight to the fifth door. Mysteriously unlocked, just like the rest, it opened to a breathtaking library. Carved shelves guarded the treasury of ancient books, tablets and manuscripts in a myriad of nameless tongues. Pale shafts of light flowed through the roof slits high above.
Whoa, Hegel, this looks like your house,
Tay whispered.
The library at mine was nothing close to this.
Hegel whispered back. If it's a prison, I don't want to run away. An elvish thought flicked through his mind. They walked in slowly, awed, wading past the bookshelves through the stripes of sunshine and shade and sunshine again, their faces and shoulders bathed in a milky glow. Hegel's amethyst eyes sparkled, wide open, as if he were a boy once more. The place felt like home. In the middle, they saw a curious golden pattern etched onto the floor. Circles and lines, all connected, strewn with unknown symbols and words. One more step and a sudden shiver travelled down their spines, harsh and jarring, as though some unseen force had barred their way. The warriors backed off without a word. Hegel meandered further in, to a long desk by the window.
Tay, look.
What?
Here.
The desk was a sparkle with wonders. A long scroll with ornate writing lay across it, surrounded by books. Clear crystals with blue mist swirling inside, thin golden rods and a patterned brass sphere of unknown promise. Hegel held his breath and leant over the manuscript, curious. He hoped he might decipher it, but the mysterious script guarded its secrets well.
"Leave it,"
Tay's voice came from behind.
"We have no time."
"Aye, Captain."
Tay turned to walk out.
"Can you believe?"
he threw over his shoulder, out of the blue.
"That Neri managed to get me to try that weird green stuff he's been always drinking. It actually didn't taste as dreadful as it looked."
He smirked.
"No clue why it popped into my head right now. Well, this is something."
He lapsed into astounded silence. A painting glimmered on the wall to their right, filled with that same depth and magic that dazzled Hegel in his room before. The view was of a mountain peak, solemn and dark against the beryl skies. Over a cliff, a silver dragon opened its wings, ready to throw itself into the windy chasm, its scales aglow with unworldly strength. For the briefest moment, the warriors felt as though the frosty gale touched their faces too. Nesteri's feverish dreams were drenched in pain and haunted by the shadow. The hell of the fight swallowed him again, seething with heat and fire, the blasts of attacks and the stench of burning blood. Tay fought beside him, but too far, too distant to cover, and death was too close.
"Behind!"
Nesteri wanted to shout, but his lips didn't move and his mouth stayed silent and dry. Too late. Darkness swelled and lashed out like a knot of angry snakes, darting through Tay's chest, and the broken cry shook the sky. Hegel's dead face loomed before Nesteri now, a pale mask, his body slowly falling to the ground, soundlessly like a dry leaf, every moment lasting a lifetime. Nesteri leapt towards him, yet Moriel's flames came first, bursting through Hegel, and in an instant he was gone, turned into ash and cinders. His face alone remained, seared and black and crumbling, until it scattered into the murder of crows flying off. "Too late!" An attack hit Nesteri, burning, writhing its way to his core, scorching his bones. The agony of pain ripped him apart, and the darkness spun dizzily as death reached for him. A boy stood in the morning mist, alone, and with a raven on his arm. The meadow before dawn was grey and quiet and shrouded in secrets.
"You are too late,"
a male voice said in the hush.
"The stars are gone and you still haven't found the key."
"Ah, too late, too late,"
cawed the raven, flapping its wings.
"What key?"
the boy asked. Nesteri looked at him. The boy's face was his own.
"Pray tell me."
A key appeared in front of him, shining gold through the mists, chased with a filigree of runes. It looked so beautiful, the most wonderful thing Nesteri had ever seen, and he timidly stretched his hand toward it, mesmerized, almost holding the key now. But the raven snatched it away and shot up into the sky.
"No, stop, come back."
Nesteri screamed and tried to run, but the bird was already gone.
"Too late," said the voice.
"Please, please come back."
He felt cold, so cold. A little boy hopelessly running through the meadows, the veil of tears clouding his gaze.
"Come back."
"Not until you're ready."
"It's a dream. It's only a dream."
Nesteri suddenly knew, and yet he was trapped in it, strangely numb, unable to wake up. He writhed on his bed, his eyes closed but restless. Tay and Hegel quietly walked in.
"Nesteri!"
Tay called. Nesteri didn't hear.
"Too late, too late,"
his lips repeated mindlessly. From the tall window by his bed, a soft breeze wafted in.
"Nesteri!"
Tay touched his shoulder. Nesteri shuddered. His gaze was haunted and blank.
"Nesteri, you all right?"
"I feel pain. I feel no pain. I'm dead. I'm not dead." His mind was so empty right now.
"I don't know,"
Nesteri uttered finally in a flat voice. He looked at Tay as if trying to remember who he was.
"We have been killed. You, Tay,
And you, Hagar. I know it's just a dream.
Hagel smiled with relief.
No, we're alive,
he insisted.
Even though I struggle to understand how.
I must be alive. I'm hungry.
Tay grinned. Nsteri looked at them again, consciousness gradually returning to his eyes. He slowly sat up on his bed and looked around.
Where are we?
Would that I knew,
Hagel replied.
A castle or a palace of some kind. Too lavish for a prison.
Yet it still may be,
Tay cut in. Nsteri checked his arms and chest and frowned, bewildered.
No wounds?
Welcome to the club.
Tay grinned again.
How come?
No idea.
Hold on. Your uniform?
Nsteri stared at both incredulously.
How, by the light? Where did you get them from?
That was the only garb lying around. Don't ask me why. I don't know.
Tay admitted with a shrug, then changed the subject.
Oh, enough gabble. Hurry up and sort yourself out. We must get out while we can.
Aye, Captain.
In the face of danger,
Tay announced, copying Master Alsvir's manner.
A warrior should remain vigilant, alert, and ready.
Aye, Captain.
Hagel and Nsteri responded as one. Nsteri grabbed his jacket, examined it with disbelief, shook his head, then got dressed. Tay squinted at them approvingly.
That's better.
He studied both as they stood before him, sharp and ready in their grey-blue uniform, and his gaze turned pensive.
Huh. Look at you two.
What?
Nsteri asked.
You look like we'd travelled back in time, like we're back home.
He smiled, but his eyes remained sombre.
It feels good,
Hagel said. Tay nodded.
Yes, you're right.
There was something oddly powerful about wearing the Academy's crest again.
Whoever sends us all this crazy look, we're very much indebted,
Nsteri observed.
I know, right? I was just thinking the same,
Tay said.
I hold my ear, it stays that way. We'll need some luck to get out of here.
Do you reckon Farian might be with us? I can't sense his presence.
Me neither,
Tay admitted.
Hagel, you?
Hagel shook his head.
No, I tried to find him earlier.
Tay's face darkened.
It may be that there's only three of us again. For Mrood's blasting sake! Trying to find Far on the Blue Planet was already a hero's quest, and now, light only knows what this place is.
He rubbed his face and swore under his breath some more.
Tay?
What?
Listen.
Mysteri's face was cautious and tense.
Listen to what?
Tay lowered his voice.
The music.
Now they could all hear it. The breeze rang with soft notes coming from somewhere outside. Bad news.
So we're not alone,
Hagel whispered.
I can't tell whether it's a demonoid, though. I still can't sense anyone.
Tay twisted his mouth.
A demonoid with the harp would be quite a sight.
Would you risk your life for it?
Nsteri teased him.
Get off.
So what's the plan?
We wanted to see if you can scan through their masking shields, like you did in the park back then.
Tay said simply.
You mean with Onmyoji's?
Yes. This lot here are clearly using something of that kind. We need to know how many of them are about.
Sure, I'll try my best.
Nsteri focused and tapped into the field of light using his extended perception. Nothing. He pressed his lips and tried again, more determined. And then again.
I can't sense anyone.
He was forced to finally admit, looking contrite.
I see. Well, time for the old school methods then.
Tay slunk to the window, carefully opened it, waited, and peeked out. The tiled roof below was braved here and there by blossoming vines. Lower down, a long fountain shimmered on the terrace of white stone. Beyond the balustrade, flowery meadows stretched across far and farther, laced with the twinkle of creeks. A distant forest on the left reached out to touch the restless expanse of the ocean. Sweet fragrances, elusive and palliative, filled the air. The star scanned the roof again, wondering if they could use it as an escape route, but quickly abandoned the idea. It would be too risky during the day, and Daregi only knew how long it would take till the dusk. They couldn't afford to wait. Tate pulled his head back in and closed the window.
No one's there,
he stated in an undertone, listening to the music playing still.
Which clearly can't be unless this castle is inhabited by ghosts.
Ghosts don't exist,
Hegel told him.
What if they do here?
Hegel winced.
They don't. It's a children's story.
Nesteri's told me he saw a ghost once.
Nesteri will tell you that the septenary stars are real. Would you believe that too?
Hegel was having none of it. He always found their captain's fascination with fairy tale nonsense mildly irritating. It was certainly neither the time nor the place for it now. The quarter lingered, unsure what to do. Long minutes trickled by. Finally, Nesteri spoke.
I have a feeling they're peaceful, whoever they are. Think of it. They must know that we're here, yet nobody attacked us so far.
He paused and looked at Tay resolutely.
I can go first, and if they try to kill me, you'll have enough time to get away.
Bullshit. It's my job to go first,
Tay declared brusquely.
We stand a better chance, methinks, keeping together.
Hegel chimed in cautiously.
Darn, Hegel always making too much sense.
Tay grimaced. He slicked back his hair.
All right, decided. Let's go, we can't hide here forever.
The music led them down the white stone staircase and through a pillared hall to the entrance door. It opened to a terrace framed with a marble colonnade. The gentle breeze rustled through the twining vine. A sparkling sash of water cut into the middle of the steps and tinkled down to a wide balcony beyond. On both sides, lush plants stretched their curious sapphire leaves to the sun. The quarter noticed none of it, though. As soon as they stepped out on the terrace, all three froze, smitten with wonder. A great star sat on the marble balustrade before them, looking away. Her slender fingers strummed a lute. Her belted dress was gold, emerald and white. Gentleness and a gleam of hidden sorrow shone in her ambery eyes. She regarded the quarter in calm silence. Long hair flowed down her shoulders, a shimmering waterfall of twilight silver. Even in the bright of afternoon, her face seemed to be touched by moonlight glow. The young warriors swallowed their breath, hearts beating faster. The great star was too beautiful for words.
I am Ioe,
she greeted them. The quarter trembled. The sweet, disarming magic of her voice went straight to their core, like honeyed wine.
I am Antares, the guardian of time past,
the great star added in Laerian.
No way.
Tay gasped and dropped on one knee where he stood, and Nesteri with him. A moment later, bewildered, Hegel joined them too.
Your holy grace.
They recognized her, even in their addled state of mind. Impossibly, inconceivably, they had the honor to encounter the holy guardian of time past, one of the great stars of the septenary. The quarter knew of her from the myths that were for centuries told and retold amongst the minor stars. The guardians of light of the highest order, the septenary watched over the seven gates of time and space, protecting the very foundations of this world from the deadly breath of the shadow. Ancient, like the world itself, their power and wisdom were legendary, and their consciousness was said to remain unbroken since the dawn of days. Their names were called upon in times of danger, and their heroic deeds became sagas and legends shared by the fire. No one had ever seen the septenary, of course, and only the crazy dreamers would insist that the old tales were true, and yet...
We are at your command,
Tay said on behalf of all, his head bowed.
My command?
Antares put her lute aside and gracefully stepped towards the quarter.
I think getting up would be a good start.
Of course, as you wish.
Tay gave a tight nod. All three stood up but kept their gazes low, not daring to stare. Antares cocked her head.
I see you recognise me.
Yes,
Nesteri breathed out.
We're truly honoured, holy guardian.
He glanced at Antares and then away, excited like a kid who had magically stepped inside his favourite book. His face remained indifferent and still, though, and betrayed nothing.
Let's leave titles for another time,
the great star told him.
You can call me Antares.
I'm honoured,
Nesteri repeated, this time more bashfully.
Nesteri Astarion, at your service.
He introduced himself, throwing his arm across his chest. Tay and Hegel followed his lead.
Welcome to Largu,
Antares said.
Away with formalities,
she added.
Someone here is supposedly hungry. We shall not keep him waiting.
Tay's smile was a mixture of coyness and mischief.
How does she know? Was I talking that loud when upstairs?
He wondered.
That's totally the best idea ever,
he proclaimed heartily out loud. Hegel rolled his eyes.
I beg your forgiveness, holy star, for our captain's somewhat over-ebullient disposition.
Tay turned to him sharply.
What? Did you just say something rude?
Hegel shook his head.
No.
No, he didn't.
Nesteri echoed. Irony gleamed in his gaze. Tay scowled.
Stop using weird words about me.
In the left corner of the upper terrace, a round table waited for them, traced with a lattice of leafy shadows. A circle of brass stools around it was topped with cushions of green velvet, braided with gold. Antares gestured to sit. The distant ocean glittered through the drape of sweet vines.
It is exceptionally beautiful here,
Nesteri said, finally starting to notice the world around him. The guardian took a ewer of blue glass that appeared on the table and poured from it into four matching tea bowls.
You must have questions, warriors,
she said.
You're welcome to voice them.
The quarter traded glances. After an awkward silence, Tay spoke first.
Holy star, Antares,
he began, frantically searching his memory for whatever polite forms of speech he knew.
Would you be so kind as to enlighten us about where we are, at the current present?
Hegel bit his fist, hiding a grimace halfway between a cringe and a smile, listening to Tay struggle through the sentence almost hurt.
This is Meldaeon, or the Meldaeon Hall,
a great star replied.
And we are on Largu, the place I call my domain. A world that I have arranged to my liking.
Your what?
Tay nearly dropped his bowl.
My word, so it is true. The legends say that the Septenary can wield reality. Is it true?
Antares graciously ignored his outburst.
It's not as big of a wonder as you think,
she told him.
Everything you see is naught but energy, only in varied forms. The universal light that flows through everything connects all. That light is what I truly am, and so are you. A skilled warrior can mould that energy according to their will. Energy follows intent. What you believe to be reality is merely a dream of your mind.
Right,
Tay muttered, trying to pretend he understood. Like any other scholar at the academy, he knew about the field of light, but everything else Antares said seemed like a foreign tongue. He nodded just in case.
A dream of the mind, sure.
Hegel looked down, studying his tea bowl with the earnestness that deserved a better use. He felt discomforted about chiding Tay earlier, but that alone would be a minor pain. The humiliation was worse. His worldview had been smashed to smithereens. His rational thinking, he was so proud of, had been proven all hideously wrong. Right in his face, in front of everyone. The shock came with an acrid sense of shame.
Thank you for your kind explanation,
he said, habitually mindful of his manners yet absent. He had to make peace with his new reality somehow. Nesteri was quiet. He sipped his tea, his gaze fixed softly on the great star, the world becoming a blur. He always stubbornly believed in the Septenary's existence, despite Farian's snide remarks and Hegel calling him a hapless dreamer, a more polite word for a fool. None of it mattered now. The legends lied. Or rather, they were helpless to describe the truth. The beauty of the Guardian made words fade and scatter into ashes. Her presence was imbued with magic, ineffable and ancient yet mellow, and heady like the strongest mead. Reflections of the times bygone, forgotten myths and glory from an age of heroes lived in her luminous eyes. Antares seemed so alien to everything he'd ever known, and yet so strangely, so inexplicably close.
If this is an afterlife, it was worth dying for.
A smirk twitched a corner of Nesteri's lips.
Holy Star,
he asked.
Am I correct, presuming we have died?
Antares smiled.
You're very much alive.
But I remember...
You don't remember, warrior. You assume. Another instant, and it would be as you say. I had replaced each of you with holographic doubles, energy images just a moment earlier. It was those doubles that you saw. The operation was timed rather well, even though I say so myself.
Antares cupped her tea bowl in her hands and lowered her eyelids, just like Kano would.
Why the last moment?
Ceremonial politeness was never Tay's forte. He quickly realised his blunder, though.
I mean, we are enormously indebted for saving our lives, and we shall not take this debt lightly, but I was curious why.
He paused, looking for words, then nodded at Hegel.
You'll say it better.
Tay was wondering if there might have been a reason for your gracious succour to be delivered at that time, Holy Star.
Hegel's command of the courtly language was notably effortless.
Yes. I had to wait to keep the wave as low as possible.
The wave?
Tay tilted his head quizzically.
The impact of my interference on the temporal continuum.
Those words transported Nesteri back to his academy days. The vaulted hall with painted wooden desks and the soft-spoken Master Sevelin lecturing on the theory of time as passionately as he could. His grey hair gilded by the shafts of light from the tall windows. Nesteri forced the vision away.
We do, indeed, owe you the greatest debt,
he uttered slowly.
But
his mind was racing, trying to make sense of it all.
We are no one, a speck of dust amongst the myriad of worlds. If you permit, what could have possibly made our paltry existence worth even the slightest of your gracious concern?
Antares looked at him reflectively.
This mission was not a matter of my wish,
she replied.
We do what our duty and the will of the light requires of us.
Seeing Nesteri's perplexed face, she added,
the light is a sentient force. It can guide and empower you if you attune yourself to it.
That I'm aware of,
Nesteri said.
Although I don't know how to recognise its will. Our teacher might have known, but he is no longer with us. With my deepest respect, however, of what significance would that be?
Antares didn't reply right away. She contemplated the reflections on the Ua, silver and blue, frustration stirring in her. Sirit's words floated through her mind.
They are only minor stars. You knew what you agreed to. You had been warned.
At last, she turned to Nesteri again, strange fire burning in her gaze, and the young warrior shivered when their eyes met.
There is something that you must understand.
Antares's voice was star winds and infinitudes of space.
Our lives are not simply ours. We are warriors, sentinels on a sacred duty. We are those who stand between the shadow and all life, peace and freedom in the universe, the countless millions of souls. We have to trust the force of the light to navigate us on our path.
She paused.
Because if we fail in our mission, so the world fails with us.
Nesteri seemed lost.
How could we possibly assist you in your mission?
Time is changing,
Antares told him.
You are the rock against which the shadow shall crash and recede. It has been foretold.
Her answer explained nothing, but the warrior didn't dare to ask again. He took another swallow from his bowl, deep in thought. The mysterious drink was thick and honey-scented, with golden flecks in it.
Funny, I don't seem to feel hungry anymore. What even is this?
He wondered. A pair of seahawks glided through the air just outside the balcony, crying in high-pitched voices. Nesteri watched them go, then briefly closed his eyes. All this was surreal, like a dream. He couldn't think of any reason whatsoever why their lives might be of value to anyone.
I do apologise for my undue inquisitiveness,
Hegel spoke again.
But may I know how long we have been here, if you please?
One night and almost a day. On the blue planet, no time has passed.
Hegel's eyebrows went up.
How could that possibly be?
He pensively turned his empty tea bowl in his hand.
Mormedarie?
Antares asked instead of a reply.
Ah, is that what it is called? Yes, that would be delightful. Thank you kindly, Your Holy Grace.
Antares glanced at the ewer. It floated up from the table, refilled the bowls, then gently lowered back down again.
The time on Lagu and the planet you came from are not synchronous,
she said, ignoring the quarter's startled stares.
No matter how long you stay here for, when you return, it will be the same moment you were gone.
How could that...
Hegel looked up with his left eye closed, taking in what he had heard. At the Academy, temporal theory was his meteor, and the old habits sprang to life at once. Suddenly he frowned, blinked with both eyes, and turned inquiringly to Antares again. His supposition needed some more details.
Holy Star...
He began in the most amiable tone of voice. His face showed no emotion, but he was dying of curiosity. One could tell.
A tiny word of your most perspicacious insight would give me true joy, if I may be permitted to know how that works.
Antares favoured him with an enigmatic smile.
You may find out later.
Later? Could that perchance mean...
Nesteri's breath caught in his throat. His attempt to sound nonchalant was all but failing. The tiny hope that kindled in his heart surged, swallowing him whole.
Could we?
I shall be pleased to have you as my guest,
the great star said unexpectedly, as though answering his wish.
I trust you will find Lagu quite welcoming.
Nesteri wanted to pinch himself.
You are truly too kind,
he responded earnestly, lowering his head.
We're honoured and very much obliged.
The once familiar way of speaking felt odd on his tongue after so long.
Light, yes, that would be epic. A most massive thank you, Holy Star,
Tay exclaimed simply, throwing his arm across his chest. Hegel cast him a disapproving glare.
Your extraordinary magnanimity is more than we deserve,
he added hastily, as if to make up for Tay's impertinence.
Our only hope is that our presence would not be too much of a burden.
Antares regarded them with warm serenity for a few quiet moments, then turned towards the ocean and her gaze became distant. The sun rays touched her face and hands. A soft blue glow stretched from her tea bowl on the white marble of the table.
You'd be most welcome, warriors.
She finally spoke, her voice as reflective as her gaze.
It shall be interesting. I haven't dealt with minor stars for eons.
The quarter looked at Antares, then at each other, dazed, speechless from awe and wonder. A star of the septenary, a real star of the septenary, stepped down to them and welcomed to her realm. It was impossible. It was against all reason. Things like that simply didn't happen. Not in the real world. What kind of need might it have been, so powerful that it called to life ancient legends? What kind of destiny did it herald for them? Still silent, Tay stretched his hand, palm down across the table. Nesteri put his hand on top, unhesitating. Finally, with a hint of a quiver, Hegel added his. Tay looked at his squad and nodded. It had been decided. What lay ahead, they didn't know. And yet, with a strange tremble, they all could feel it. Awaiting them was the adventure of a lifetime.
Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.